Well, good evening, everybody. It's another edition of the Laker Hockey Show live from the Antlers down on East Portage Avenue. Nice little crowd on hand here tonight. Bill Crawford joined tonight by Zach Sizek, the assistant coach, one of the two assistant coaches of the Lakers. Damon's busy tonight. He's overwatching the NOJHL showcase at Big Bear Arena here, and Zach is going to sit in for him. And I guess we'll start off by talking about this past weekend, Zach. It was a good weekend for the Lakers. We lose two games, which is never good, but I thought we played really well. It was very entertaining. We fall 3-1 on Friday night, and then a really tough 4-3 defeat on Saturday. I thought we played well enough. We could have come back and won that game, but we'll talk more in detail about that. But it was a good series.
It was a really good series. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. It was a really good series. I think we took a lot of positives out of it. One thing, that I think we went down a couple times, especially that second night. We were down 3-1, and we thought we were playing pretty well. So to come back with two goals, and especially in the third period, it felt like we kept pressing and pressing. So a lot of building blocks, but we certainly don't want to lose. We were excited to have them in our building, but unfortunate with the results.
Yeah, some weird goals in the third period of that game. The Lakers get a couple of goals. Max right down on the goal mouth puts one in. It comes off the back wall. That was just pure talent to me right there, putting it in the roof from that position. But then Dustin Mans gets his first collegiate goal. He shoots it from the goal line, hits the goaltender's pads, and takes the right hop and goes in the net, ties the game at 3. And then they come down with 20 seconds left in the game, and that was a tainted goal. I've looked at the replay several times since. I also checked the rule book out on Rule 73.4 and 5, and seems to me that goal probably should have been disallowed because they shoved Merrick's into the net, and if you do that, if you move the goalie into the net, it's not supposed to be a goal. It's supposed to be disallowed, and they said he got the puck in first. I don't think so. I watched that replay 3-4 times, and his leg went in. The puck was under his leg. That's how they scored the goal, and they allowed it. So Lakers lose a heartbreaker there, really, because it was a great game.
I think going back to the two goals that we scored in that period, two very smart players, I think, especially on Dustin's goal. It looks like a goofy goal a little bit from the goal line, but I think it takes a really smart player to know that it's probably a good shot selection. So we were really happy for him. Obviously, it's a great honor to get your first goal, especially in a game like that. In terms of that last goal against for us, there was a breakdown or two, and we're not supposed to say anything in the league, so I'm going to leave it at that. So I was instructed not to say anything. So.
Well, that makes sense anyway. You don't want to be talking about it. It's kind of like the Detroit Lions complaining today after losing, and they got job pretty good there too on a few calls, but they also had the ball inside the 20-yard line 5-6 times and came away with nothing but field goals. So, you shoot yourself sometimes, but I don't think we shot ourselves. I thought we did a great job all weekend. I was really buoyed by the fact that we're going up against a really good team that had Final Four chance last year. They got beat by UMass in the semifinal game, but they're, the prognosticators think they're one of the top teams in the country this year. They are ranked number one today because Duluth got beat on the weekend. They won twice. They're the top-ranked team in the country right now, and I thought we hung right with them very, very well. I think that says a lot about our program.
Yeah, I think, Bill, and we were talking during the game in intermission, we felt for like a lot of stretches over the weekend that we were outplaying them. They're a team that we can take a lot from them as well in terms of teaching points for our guys. They skate really well up and down their lineup. We think their hockey IQ is really high, and their sticks were really good. So certainly things that hopefully that can make us a better team watching the film and studying from them. And we would like to think that we help them become a better team this weekend too.
Well, it was a tough series too, physical, a lot of hitting. But we had guys who can skate right with them, even though they were an outstanding skating team. I think maybe their stick skills a little bit superior in some ways on some players, but they were really good on that angle of things. Very impressive handling the puck and setting things up. I was impressed all weekend with how they come over the board so well. They change lines on the fly, and they're going. I mean, they don't miss a beat, and they made that work to their effect in the second period of both hockey games.
No, there's no secret why they have a great program every year. It starts with they've had a couple of really good coaches there, obviously with Coach Montgomery now, Coach Carl. people who have been there for a long time. So they do a great job. And like I said, I think, you know, for us, we're going to be able to steal a couple things from them and implement them. But they're fast. They're fast and they have good sticks. And that was the message going into the week. So we certainly weren't thrown off by that, but it's different to see it live.
Well, there was a lot of stuff that went right for Lake Superior State, too, though. I thought we had a great weekend out of some individuals. I thought Max Humitz had a great weekend, couple of goals. Ashton Calder was going to join us at the end of the show here today, the sophomore from the Sioux. He had a couple goals, first goal each night. And the goal on Saturday, it was just a great effort by him. And he showed, hey, you think we can't skate with Denver? He skated with Denver. He outskated them down the ice to score that goal. And the Erickson had a big weekend, and also Merrick's Mittens. I thought Merrick's was outstanding all weekend. And you coach goalies, what's your comment there?
Yeah, I'll try to hit all those guys here if I can. I think we started with Humitz there. We thought Max had a great weekend. It was nothing out of the ordinary for him, though. We expect him to obviously be an offensive leader, but certainly he wears a letter for a reason. He's very positive in our room, and he plays the right way, and he's a good role model for our younger guys. You said it a little bit with a guy like Ashton, who both games scores the first goals, and they weren't he had to get up and down the ice for both of them. So I thought that line played with a ton of pace. Especially having Louie on there, being a freshman, he only has four games of college experience now, and I think he's done a really good job at taking a step quick to play with guys like Ashton and Max, and just as from our expectations that they have to be, guys who are going to score goals for us. So I thought all three of them did a really good job.
How about Erickson? He had a good weekend again. Big body right there
for the first 2 weeks of the season. That line, in terms of their chemistry with Yuki and Pete, have just been incredible. We've shown a lot of individual clips to the team, just of some habits they do a really good job on, just simple things like moving their feet and avoiding getting pinned on the wall, which is last week Denver did a good job. We're going to play another team this week in Michigan who does a good job pinning guys to the wall. And that Hampus line did a really, really good job. And their small details are very high right now. And I think turning to Mitz, I thought he had a really strong weekend. All we can ask out of our goalies is that they give us a chance to win every night. We're only four games in, so obviously there's things we want to improve. But what we talk about is we're not going to look at stats. We're going to talk about guys who can make plays in critical situations and in both games when we're losing, especially on Saturday night. I think he has two or three breakaway saves when we're down 3-1 and a backdoor save. And those are things that, might not be highlighted because we're losing, but we don't have a chance to get back in the game without those saves, which, I thought his mental game was very, very strong this weekend.
Yeah, I think Merrick Smittens has been really good all four games. You can find a goal there where maybe there was a rebound and it got by him, but and he's made, for that one goal where there was a rebound and it got by him, he's made six saves he had no business making. So yeah, That's the kind of goaltending you want. A lot of fans want to know when we're going to get a chance to see Roman Bengert. He's played here. This is his second full year now, and they want to see him get in there. But, this time of the season, you're playing against Denver on the top-ranked team. Now you're going to go to Michigan. Then you're going to go to Notre Dame. Those might be tough times to throw a goaltender who really hasn't had any experience at this level into a series.
Not only with our goalie position, but, all positions, we want to have our guys, especially when it's one of their first chances to be in a position to succeed. We think that's really important. So putting them in an environment that they can succeed. But in terms of just Roman specifically, we think he's done a really good job in terms of his development from the start of last year to the end of last year, and then through the summer, and then the little building blocks that he's put through so far have been very positive. And obviously in our position in goalie, only one guy goes. So our message to him is he's just got to be ready when that time comes.
You're listening to the Laker Hockey Show. We come your way every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. live from the Antlers. Bill Crawford joined tonight by Zach Sizek, one of the Lakers' two assistant coaches. We're going to take a break in the show. We'll come back. We'll talk about some other things with the coach when we return. Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. All righty, we are back for the second segment of the Laker Hockey Show on a Tuesday night from the Antlers here on East Portage Avenue. A rainy day in Sault Ste. Marie today, but it's that time of year when we start to have this sort of weather. We've got some questions from the fans here tonight. Zach Sizek, the assistant coach of the Lakers, is with us, and we're talking, obviously, Laker hockey. But you said a few minutes ago, Zach, that the Denver series is the kind of series where you can learn a lot about your team. You can learn about areas where you need to work and areas where you're really happy, where you emphasize the good points. Let's get into some of that right now. What are we working on this week? We got Michigan coming up. I don't really want to talk about the Wolverines just yet, but what are we working on in practice that we learned playing Denver?
Well, I think right before I touch on that, it's really good to a good benchmark for our team for sure. You know, we've been playing, you know, scrimmaging against each other ever since school started, and we've only had two games, and to bring a team of that caliber in and know that we very much competed with them and had a chance both nights to get wins, it's something very positive for us, obviously. Turning to a couple of things that they do really well, obviously their transition is very fast, and it's also very structured. I think a team like Denver, a high power offense team, they don't get enough credit for the way they defend. There's a reason why they're on offense so much, and I think their defensive habits, it goes unnoticed because they score so many goals, but I really think that's the reason why they score a lot of goals. So I just think that their overall team speed, their sticks, their ability to close in on guys was something that I thought we got better with over the weekend. It just took a little time to adjust to. And then I thought their play on the wall, specifically with their wingers, being able to engage our wingers and take our sticks, and be able to create speed for their centers was something a lot of teams, you know, pretty much every team wants to do that, but I think they're exceptional at it.
Yeah, and, you know, if you had to compare Denver from what you've seen of this Michigan team at this point that we're going to play this weekend, Michigan likes to play that same style. I just don't know if they have the personnel or the experience at this point to be that way. And I was surprised. Denver's not a real big team. They've got a lot of guys who are 5'7", 5'8", 5'9", but they are really quick with high-end stick skills like Bobby Brink, the Philadelphia Flyers second-round draft pick. He's a good player.
Yeah, I think for leading into Michigan a little bit, we're going to see a little bit of the same in terms of style of play. They're a team that really lives on their transition offense. Pretty much their whole lineup skates very well. So I think we can expect much of the same in terms of their transition offense. I think you mentioned a little bit about their personnel. I do think that there are some differences there. They are a little bigger. I do think Denver had probably overall a little more team speed, but Michigan still certainly has a ton of speed.
Yeah, it'll be a battle. It always is down at Yost Arena, one of the great places to watch college hockey. It's an atmosphere that can be really good, and it can be really tough on you, too, because their fans get into it, and they've got some people who are very difficult to deal with when they get it going against you. We've got some questions from the fans tonight. One of them concerns the goal that was scored to win the game late in the game. We're not going to talk about that necessarily from whether we think the goal should have been in or not. I've said what I think. I can do that. But have you seen the play, and did the team, there's a part to this question I want to ask, did we send anything into our league to say, hey, this shouldn't happen or anything like that?
That was the, you know, I was pretty quick to scurry upstairs and get our own view, and which is the view that I believe it's the same view as Flow Hockey. So that's obviously the only view that we had. So I was pretty quick to run upstairs and get the overhead view. We didn't show it to our guys. It's over. It's not necessary. So what was that? What was that second part? Sorry, Bill.
Well, did we send anything? Do we send anything into anybody to say this is the kind of thing we should be looking for and we shouldn't let this happen?
Well, there's
because I think that's the concern of the part of the fans.
Absolutely. You know, there's a process that our head of officials goes through every weekend, not just if a controversial play like that happens. The head of officials is available for, you know, mostly Friday, Saturday nights, just to review any potential incidents like that. So it's nothing that we necessarily needed to send in. He's heard both sides, I'm sure, and he's been made aware of it.
Yeah, there is a rule 73.4 and 73.5 that's in the book that says that if the goaltender is shoved into the net by an opposition player, that goal should be disallowed. But, you know, whether or not that's what happened, I think the officials decided he wasn't shoved in, that the player got to the puck and knocked the puck in. But from what I saw, it went the other way. We've got other questions from fans who are with us here tonight at the show. Did we have any recruits on campus this past weekend to see us go step for step with a good team like Denver?
We did not, not this weekend. Certainly, we've really liked our pretty much the second half of summer into the, I guess you call it the recruiting season with all the showcases. Obviously, the showcase going on in town right now. Mike, Damon, and I have been out a lot to a lot of different places. So we really like the lists we've built and everything like that. We really like the direction we're in right now.
Yeah, what kind of situation are we in right now? Damon and I have talked about this on the show already this year, and it's very early in the season. But we're gonna lose a certain number of people. We have six seniors plus a junior is gonna run out of eligibility here in Tyler Anderson. But what is it that we think we need at this point? We've got a lot of guys in the hopper now. We've got kids with NLI signed who we can bring in next year. We've got defensemen and forwards. So what do we identify? Are we just out looking for futures at this point, or are we looking for the best possible player? Or
I think we're looking for a little bit of both right now. Obviously, we're graduating a couple defensemen as well. So in terms of immediate needs, that's something that we've, been trying to look at a little bit. But obviously, just looking into the future, because guys can sign pro, and hopefully that they're playing well enough that they give themselves a chance to play pro hockey. And hopefully we're doing our jobs as coaches to help them achieve that. So you have to be ready for guys to sign pro contracts. So we have to have guys ready to come in.
Yeah, that happens all the time. It happens to every team. It's probably why a lot of teams will have 10, 15 guys on the queue waiting to come in, and we don't like to do that here because you can get into problems. I had a question from a fan last week, too, shot me an email during the week and asked about a player who has signed a national letter of intent and whether there's still interest in him for the future. He's a defenseman, Chase Pulaski. What's the situation with Chase at this point? Is he somebody who we are planning to bring in, or are we going to let him go somewhere else?
I'm trying to. He's been released from his NLI. He chose to explore other options, and we gave him a we let him walk on that, and it was something that was his decision.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was the question I got, and there's the answer right there. Okay. Take us through a typical day on a road trip. Now, a lot of fans like to know how things happen. We're going to go to Michigan this weekend. Let's look at that road trip. The team will leave, I would think, on Thursday and go down, settle in, stay wherever. Take us through what happens on a road trip, yeah. How we get ready to play on Friday night at Michigan.
So this weekend we're going to leave around 9 or 9:30 on Thursday morning. We're going to drive a couple hours, right. 3-4 hours, and then we'll stop for some food, and then get to Ann Arbor probably around 3 or 4. I think was on the itinerary. We'll check into the hotel, and then our Thursday practice. We get just a little block of time, and we will practice for about 50 minutes. Just go through, and actually we're going to have most of our guys traveling, because it's non-conference where we don't have a restriction. So we'll get on the ice there, get a little bit of a feel of the ice, the boards, the atmosphere there. We'll have a team dinner that night, and then Friday, Saturdays are very standard in terms of we'll have a team breakfast in the morning. We'll get to the rink, have a morning skate. Typically on Friday, everyone's going to skate in that morning skate to prepare for the game. And then on Saturday mornings, it's usually a very similar schedule. Typically, we give an optional ice for Saturday. If guys feel like they need some puck touches or a little bit of conditioning before the game, they're more than welcome to go out. Some guys don't want to get too amped up too early before the game, so those guys don't go on the ice. And then if there's some guys who didn't get to play Friday night, or maybe they played Friday and are not going to play Saturday, they'll be out with the coaches just making sure that they get a little bit of conditioning in.
All right, that takes care of that end of things. Do we know if all the guys on this team are set for, do we have plans to put them with blue liners, et cetera, for Thanksgiving this year, or has that even been talked about at this
point? I am not sure. That would be a Coach Witten question.
Yeah, that's something that we usually do. We send the guys out, make sure they're all going to have a good dinner that day because it's a big holiday in the U.S., and the players like it. They like to get out and meet the blue liners, and they really like to get that good dinner in. That's the big thing. Yeah. Okay, we're going to take our second break tonight. Zach and I will be back. Zach Cizik, the assistant coach of the Lakers, with us tonight. We'll be right back with more on ESPN 1400. Okay, we're back for the third segment of the Laker Hockey Show on a Tuesday evening at the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. Great place to have this show. We've got a good crowd on hand as usual. We'll have Ashton Calder move in and join us in the final segment of the show here tonight. Zach Cizik's with us, though, for another segment, the assistant coach at Lake Superior State. And Zach, let's get into this Michigan situation. We're going to go down there this weekend, a non-conference series, but a big one. Michigan's a powerhouse program nationally, maybe not ranked in the top 10 right now, but and they did just tie and lose to Clarkson on their own ice this past weekend. But Clarkson's a darn good team. They're ranked in the top 10 and capable of beating anybody on any night. So Michigan will be tough. Mel Pearson's a great coach, and they're building it there, and they want to beat Lake Superior, and it'll be an experience for our first year players for sure, because it's a great environment.
It's a, you know, as much as it pains me to say, it is a great environment there. You know, obviously, certainly from a goalie perspective, once they get that, you know, they get that first goal and they start chanting at the goalie, it can be pretty loud. But a great place to play, and it's going to be a really, really good experience for our guys, like you said. And they do a great job with their fan experience
there. Yeah, Yost has been cleaned up a little bit over the years. It's still a barn of a building, and the dressing room for the visitors is still nothing to write home about. They don't treat you too awfully well right there, but it's a great place to go on the ice. The ice itself, there's big corners. It's loud in there. It's a real great college atmosphere, and they pack the place, and they get behind their team, and best thing you can do in there is go in and beat them. And I think last time we played them down there, we split with them. I can remember Gus Coriale had a big night one night down there. And let's hope we can at least split with them, if not take two from those guys this weekend.
Yeah, I think it's really important to have a good start there, especially with how active that their crowd gets into it. So a big early start is going to be really important for us. And also, we're excited that we get to get on the road with the guys. Last year, we were one of the best teams on the road in the country. We haven't been able to do that yet this year. And it's just it's certainly more structured on the road, which we like as a coaching staff. Guys aren't running about. We're all under one roof all the time. We have our hands on guys constantly being able to show clips and things like that. So I think we're probably most excited to get on the road with the guys and be in a different environment where we think we can have success.
Yeah, we have a question from the fans here tonight, or with us at the Antlers, concerning the power play. Are there concerns about the power play? And, you know, it's so early in the season, it's tough to be critical of the power play. I mean, you haven't had a whole lot of chance, about a week and a half now to work on it? And it takes some effort. It takes some chemistry and some guys getting to know each other a little bit better, and power play is something we work on a lot.
I think you hit it there towards the end. I think, you know, power play can be only so much X's and O's. A lot of it is personnel and placing guys in the right spots. I do think that we've taken some steps there over the last four games. I think we played in Denver, a team that had a very aggressive penalty kill, again, with their sticks and speed. It was hard to generate. I don't think that's just for us. I think that's any team in the country that they play. They're known to always have a very aggressive penalty kill. So, you know, we're only four games in. I think we're getting very close to, in terms of the personnel we have, finding their best spots.
Yeah, and it's not easy to do that. You have to look at video on it and see where they talk to the players themselves and see who wants to play with whom necessarily, or maybe you've got to decide, okay, maybe we put somebody else out there in this situation. I know on power play on the one unit, we like to move Sackleman up front. We like to have him up around that net. He was very effective doing that last year. The guy had 9-10 goals last year as a defenseman, which is one of the leading scoring defensemen in the country. And you know, that sort of thing, it'll work itself out, I think. But, you know, when you lose Diego Cuglietta and Anthony Nellis and Gage Terrell, that's power play right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know Coach Witten has said it a number of times where guys like Nelly and Gage and Diego were guys who played on the power play for 4 years. So it's something that we haven't had to go through here for a while. Is replacing some of those guys. But like I said, I've really, you know, I think with both units, we've mixed around a couple guys. I'm sure we'll change one or two things this week as well. Certainly, mostly because of a pre-scout dependent on a couple of Michigan's penalty kill tactics. But we like how our personnel matches up this week. I'll say that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very interesting series down there. I was very buoyed by how well we played. You know, we did struggle on a power play a bit. I think we had some trouble sometimes trying to get people on the ice, get people off the ice, and get people on the ice. We'd take the puck down behind our net. We'd take like 15 seconds of the power play time trying to get the right people, get somebody back out there, et cetera. But that stuff will come as the season develops. I was just impressed with how well we played the rest of the time against Denver. I thought we were really good against them, and we could have won that second game for sure. And we, you know, 3-1 loss in the first game. They scored in the third period.
Yeah, I think certainly, I guess, just touching the power play again, it's going to come. We have zero doubts about that. Again, it's only four games in, but like I've told you a couple times, like we're happy with the results. But there's no moral victories, unfortunately. And we, you know, when we play teams like that, when we go in there, we expect that we have a chance to win. And we definitely had a chance to win those games. But, you know, we hope next time that we come out on the winning side.
Well, it's a tough start to the season, too. Damon's called it the gauntlet. You play against Merrimack to open up, and that's a good test right there with a young team. And then in comes Denver, one of the top-ranked teams in the country, number one this week. And now we go to Michigan, and then we go to Notre Dame before we get into WCHA play. I kind of like it myself. I think it's a good test for these kids, and I think it'll make them better later on in the season when we want to be good.
Absolutely. I think Northern Michigan had somewhat of a similar, I don't know about the teams they play, but I know they had a very tough non-conference schedule to start the year, and their win-loss record probably wasn't where they wanted it to be. But when they got into WCHA play, obviously Northern had a really, really successful season last year. And I think a big part of that was the competition that they played early in the year.
Are injuries an issue right now for Lake Superior State?
They're not, no. Guys are in a good spot. Trying to think. I think guys are in a pretty good spot right now. You know, hopefully we keep them healthy, though.
Nobody got hurt on the weekend and coming out against Denver. Okay, so we're set to go to Michigan with a pretty full squad at this point. And, it goes back to the question about when we're going to see, Roman Bengert play goal. There are other players on his team who haven't seen any action yet, but it's a tough start. They're young guys. I'm thinking in particular of Esposito Selivanov and also Robert Bluger. These are good players. They're good young guys. Mans and Louis Bidone have been in there every game so far, and these other guys haven't had a chance to play yet, but their day is coming.
Yeah, and I think it's good that we have this competition right now. It's not trying to find a piece to go in there because we don't have anything. We feel like this part of our lineup, we feel very deep, and we would absolutely have confidence playing any of those guys right now that haven't been playing. You know, it's the not fun part about coaching is you have to make those tough decisions. But we really liked how guys, you mentioned Nico and Blues, have handled themselves and been able to display what we think when they were recruited, what their strengths were, and they're playing to them in practice. And when their time comes, we think they're going to be ready.
You know, another area where I think we need some experience and we need some work on it, we've got one of the best coaches in the country to work on that because he was really good at it himself, and that's face-offs. We lost a lot of face-offs on the weekend. That comes with experience, and I think Erickson was pretty good for the most part all weekend, but other than that, we probably lost more than we won. So when do you take time in a practice situation to actually go out there with a guy like Mike York, who is a premier face-off man as a college player and a pro, and really work on that, maybe little things you can do, the idiosyncrasies that come with being a great face-off man, so that we can control that puck a little bit better?
We did some face-off stuff yesterday. We're definitely going to mix it in one more time, at least in a team setting this week. Face-offs is something that guys will do kind of on their own at the end of practice as well. I think one adjustment we've had to make is obviously Diego took, I believe he took the most total face-offs in the country last year. So it was almost a safety net there. If we needed a win, it was just, hey, Diego, go win us a draw, even if you're dead tired and you can come off the ice. So something we've had to adjust to a little bit, but we've mixed a couple guys in on center this year who've been really good on draws, especially in practice. It's going to come, but it's not just the center. I think is really important. We showed a couple clips to our guys this week where maybe the center does their job and ties up at the very least. And maybe they didn't get help from our wingers or our wingers got pushed out. So I wouldn't want to put it all in the centers by any means. We can certainly get better there, but it's a five-man unit, but certainly three at the very least.
Yeah, definitely, and that's so important because it's puck possession, and puck possession is the kind of game you want to play. I thought Denver was a really good puck possession type team, and that's how the Lakers want to play too, and we were when we had the puck, but you gotta win those draws, especially defensive zone. It's so important not to let the other team have the opportunity to control that puck in your zone.
Yeah, it's really important, and especially on special teams and power play. You wanna win that faceoff. You don't want the puck ice down and lose 15 seconds. And obviously on the kill, we've got a pretty high standard of what we think our penalty kill faceoff percentage should be. And we want to waste 15, 20 seconds of their power play time. So the special teams faceoffs are critical.
Yeah, we mentioned a couple of young guys in the first quarter of the show here tonight. Louis Bidone, I thought he had a good weekend. He maybe didn't score a goal, but he took a lot of faceoffs and he won a lot of faceoffs. He did a good job there. And what that does is you move a couple of experienced guys in Ashton Calder and Max Humitz out to that wing, where if Louis can get that puck at all, those two guys are more experienced at, we'll make sure we've got it. And that's what you're talking about, making sure you have help from your wingers when you're trying to win that draw.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think especially on that line with the dynamic of Louis being a lefty and Ashton being a righty, they have certain face-off dots that they feel more comfortable taking face-offs on. They're both defensively responsible to play the middle and be underneath the puck. We're excited that we can use both those guys there. But a guy like Ashton is someone where didn't take a lot of face-offs last year. And as we were more in special teams this year, he kept taking face-offs and he kept winning them. He's a guy who just kind of made himself a center. Because one of the reasons he made himself a center is because of his face-off ability.
You mentioned recruiting a little bit in the first part of this show tonight, too. That's something you spend a lot of time with. You and Mike both have been out a lot this season. And at this point, how do you think recruiting's going for Lake Superior State this season, heading, looking at next year?
I think it's really positive. Like you mentioned, I said earlier on the show as well, we spent a ton of time. I think we did a lot of work in the later parts of the summer as well, hitting various camps and talking to people. We certainly, obviously, with... I didn't get hired until later in the year last year, later in the summer. So the continuity on your staff is really important, especially in recruiting. So I think as a staff, we felt very comfortable with our plan, having a year together and having a whole summer in terms of planning going into this year.
Yeah, it's such an important part of the game, and everybody's at it. When you go out, you see a lot of the other assistant coaches. You get to be buddies with people from other programs. You see them all, and showcases are a big deal now. The junior leagues all have them. Even the NOJHL is having one here this weekend. So you get a chance to see just about everybody. You look at AAA teams as well, I would think, because you're looking at futures there who might come along that could help. And one of the good things about Sault Ste. Marie is we do have a AAA midget team here. There's a couple of them across the river that you can go watch. And there's a lot of hockey around here, so you can avail yourself of the opportunity to see visiting teams when they come in and don't really have to go anywhere to do it.
No, there's definitely no shortage of hockey up here. And I guess even in the whole state, I mean, Detroit's takes me about 5 hours to get down there. And, you know, between Mike and I, we'll try to get, you know, down to places like that for whatever kind of showcase it might be. But it's certainly there's enough hockey to watch. I'll say that.
And that kind of hits on how long it takes to get places is very good. The next couple of weeks, I think, for this team to travel, it always helps guys to bond when you go on the road. You have a lot of players with you because it's non-conference. The bus will be full, but it'll be a fairly short trip. It's not that long to go down to Michigan. It's not that long to go to Notre Dame. Those are pretty good bus trips for any team in the country, and certainly beats Huntsville and Bemidji and Mankato, where you're on the bus there for a long, long time. So it bodes well. I think we're off to a good start this season, and I think we're going to have some success here on these road trips the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, like I said, we're really excited to get on the road with the guys and build off of the success we had specifically on the road last year. And you know, these guys, especially coming from junior hockey, they took longer bus rides than this. I can remember when I was playing junior hockey, I took bus rides much longer than this. So this is a piece of cake. So we're excited, obviously, going into a great environment. But our guys are really excited. You know, I think part of this early schedule is that they haven't needed any motivation from us. What the teams were playing, we don't need to get them riled up to play Michigan.
No,
for sure.
Michigan at Michigan, Notre Dame at Notre Dame. They'll be ready to play both nights. It should be interesting. That Friday night game at Notre Dame in a couple of weeks is going to be nationally televised too. It'll be on NBC Sports, which is the hockey network for us around here, and that'll be a good experience as well. That's not going to hurt the recruiting right there.
No, it'll be good to get us on the national scene there, where maybe potential recruits don't get to see us play as much. And any time where we can have a good display on the road, which is something that we're really happy with that we had last year, is every time we went on the road, we felt like we played really well. And then hopefully, you know, if there's a student athlete one day that we're considering to recruit, they remember us on the road.
All right. Zach Sizek sitting in for Damon Witten tonight as the coach's part of the Laker Hockey Show. And we're going to let Zach get out of here. And we're going to move Ashton Calder, one of our hockey players, a sophomore out of Sault Ste. Marie, in. We'll be right back with more of the final segment of the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Okay, we are back for the final segment of the Laker Hockey Show on a Tuesday night in Sault Ste. Marie, coming to you from the Antlers. And come on out and join us next Tuesday night if you're listening and didn't make it out tonight. We always have a good crowd here, lots of good food. You got lots of beverages. And Ashton Calder is sitting in with us now. And Ashton's from Sault Ste. Marie. He's the only Sault Ste. Marie kid other than Chase Gamblin who's on this team this year. And that's unique in itself, but also a sophomore. We've had a couple of seniors join us. Max Humitz was here week one and Ian Johnson last week. So welcome to the show, Ashton. And let's talk a little bit about the Denver weekend up against a really good team there. I thought we played step for step, toe to toe with them, and it was a really entertaining series of hockey.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we didn't get the way we wanted, but all in all, I think we were toe-to-toe with them most of the night.
Yeah, and you had a couple of big goals. You scored the first goal each night, gave us a 1-0 lead on Friday, and came back, did the same thing on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, sorry.
It's too tough for you or what?
I don't know.
Well, when you score goals, you know, I think the second one in particular took an awful lot of skill and effort on your part. I mean, you knocked the puck past the defenseman, then you got around him. And, you know, they're a fast team, and they're renowned for that good speed. I thought you showed that we do have people who can skate, too, because you beat them down the ice. And you did that twice, two nights in a row, and used your speed to score a couple of big goals for us.
Yeah, I mean, the first night, I know, I did a nice play with Alex Ambrosio, a nice pass. So. Yeah. And then just more kind of about hopefully, you know, getting the lucky bounces and stuff like that.
I bet your line played pretty well all weekend. Max Humitz, the senior out there, you got to have a lot of fun playing with him. He's such a skilled player and such an experienced player. It's got to be good for you to get out there with him. And Louis Bidon did a good job. He's quick, he's smart, and I think he's going to be a really good player for Lake Superior State.
Yeah, I mean, Max is obviously proven over the years here, and it's really good playing with him. I played with him a little bit last year a lot, so. And then Louis, he's getting better and better every day, and he looks really well. So especially for a freshman stepping in that kind of role, it's hard. I mean, obviously, and he's taking it really well, and he's doing really well.
You know, a couple goals that came on Saturday night in the third period to tie the game. Those are the goals that prove that if you shoot the puck, good things can happen, because they were both. The one came off the back wall to Max, who just used high-end skill to put it in the top of the net. That's just Max Humitz and how good he is with the stick. Mm-hmm. But the one by Manns was spectacular because it just goes to show you. Throw it at the net. It was a great shot. Hit the goaltender's pads, deflected into the net to give us a 3-3 tie. But that's something I'm always preaching to Yuki Miura. Just shoot the puck. You never know what's going to happen. It could go in off somebody's head.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, seeing that he scored that one the first weekend, it was off his like arm or something like that, and it went in. So you never know.
Yeah, and Yuki's the kind of guy. I thought he played really well all weekend again too. There's a young guy who's got good speed, and he's very smart. He knows where to go to get into the right places, the soft areas. He just doesn't shoot the puck enough. He's always looking for a teammate to give it to.
Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of his game. He uses his speed. He's got a really high IQ. So then he looks to try to make that play all the time. So. He can shoot maybe a little more, but I think he's doing a good job.
Now, are you setting some goals for yourself here? You're a sophomore now at Lake Superior State. You came out of a pretty good junior league, the USHL. Do you set goals for yourself as you go into a season this summer? Did you sit down and think, hey, I want to do this and do that?
Yeah, so I kind of set goals for myself in segments. And like at the end of last year, I set myself like goals for the summertime and worry about like summertime training and stuff like that. And then as before the season starts, I set goals like that. We kind of do it all as a team. And I just kind of set goals as in, you know, maybe shoot more, do things to practice right more, and then hopefully translate into goals on ice as well to improve.
Now, I know this summer you and Chase, and I don't, there were other guys too who were here. Maybe Anderson stayed around this summer. You guys worked out together and got bigger, got stronger. That's so important. And that's one thing you learned last year for sure is you got to be big and strong and a good skater to play at this level.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's very big, especially in today's game. I mean, science is everything about the game now. And I mean, that's a lot of what fitness is about, and we all spent with one of the best guys that would do it with Nate Williams. He's not with us anymore, but he was very, very good this whole summer, and he was with us and actually tremendous strides throughout.
Yeah, Nate Williams is a great young strength coach. He was good enough that he's now with the Utica Comets in the American Hockey League. He's one step away from the Vancouver Canucks. The Red Wings are playing out there tonight, but Nate Williams is worth his weight in gold. He knows what he's doing. He's got the techniques down. He can talk to people. He's a good communicator, and he motivates you. He makes you want to do what he's got in mind for you to do.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing about him was his like ability to always learn. I mean, he was done with his master's, and even every day he would take time out of his week to learn and research more and more. So that's the thing about him. He's got a lot of drive in him. So that was a big thing that impressed me about him.
Now, how about the schooling end of things? What's Ashton Calder majoring in, and what's your interest outside of hockey when you get done playing here at Lake Superior State?
So I'm a double major. I major in accounting. I'm also finance and economics. And then, I mean, look, I'm going to do anything in finance. Maybe personal finance for hiring, like, athletes or stuff like that. Just kind of stick to that. Maybe agents.
I would think, though, that you're going to have a hockey in your future. I know you'd like to, your aspirations are to play at the highest level possible, and I think that's going to happen for you. But I've got two more years yet. You know, it seems hard to, you know, you've only been here for a season now and, what, four games. So it's, but it goes by fast. Ask Max Humitz.
Oh, it goes by fast.
You'll be out of here before you know it.
You can definitely, I can feel it going by fast. I mean, I thought this month that was going to be, you know, before the season, it was going to drag on. And before I knew it, we were back into games and we're already 2 weekends in. So, I mean, pretty soon it'll be Christmas and time flies, especially, you know, when you're having fun.
Yeah, and you guys are having fun. This is a good team. We think it's going to get some good things done here. Yep, we're going to go to Michigan this weekend. You didn't go there last year. It'll be your first experience with that big Yost Ice Arena, the big corners. And the crowd, they can really get into it. But I'm sure that some of the guys who have been there before will kind of educate you, and you'll pick it up in a hurry. You go down there and skate on Thursday night, you'll be ready to go.
Oh, yeah. I'll be excited.
It'll be a fun atmosphere. And then we go to Notre Dame. You haven't been there either, and that's another great place to play.
Yeah, exactly. I heard a lot of good things about Notre Dame. I heard it's a pretty cool place to play, so I'm excited.
Yeah, and they have a really good hockey team. There'll be a tough test. Their coach used to coach here. He knows Laker hockey, and it's great that we still get an opportunity to play against a team like Notre Dame. We're trying to get them to come up here. It'd be nice if we could get them on our own ice once in a while. But then you come home early in November, and we finally get started in WCHA play. You look at Alaska and Michigan Tech played league games last weekend. We don't play until the first part of November.
Yeah, I know. We don't. I was kind of surprised we don't have much league games right away. But, I mean, that's all right. We get our non-conference out of the way and kind of get to know each other before the league play.
Now, how do the guys on the team feel about road trip here? I think we always look at that as being a good time to all get together. We're all doing the same thing, thinking the same way. It's a bonding thing for the next 2 weeks.
Oh, everybody's definitely excited. I mean, everybody, especially going into a place like Michigan with so much tradition, you know, the fans are going to be busy. It's going to be kind of crazy. You know, everybody's excited to kind of get to it with each other and get the whole experience, especially the freshmen getting used to what it's like on the first time on the road at Lake State.
Yeah, it's going to be loud, and then we're going to go to Notre Dame and the Friday night games, national TV on NBC Sports. Another opportunity for the Lakers to showcase themselves.
Exactly. Every time is an opportunity.
Yep. It's all good stuff. And how about the rest of the team at this point? How are the young guys fitting in? I mean, you're a young guy yourself. You're still a sophomore. But how are the freshmen getting it done? You mentioned Louis a few moments ago. Dustin Mann's big goal last weekend. But even the guys who haven't been in the lineup yet, they seem to be really on the wavelength to, hey, we'll bide our time. We'll get a chance.
Yeah, I mean, we've all clicked right away. I mean, when they came in, they clicked right away. There was no, like, you know, we were just talking a lot and it was just good chemistry. But then, I mean, those guys that aren't playing, I mean, in practice they're doing everything right and they look good. I mean, I'm happy I'm not the coach in that situation because there's a lot of decisions that I don't even know if I can make because it's really close out there.
Yeah, it is. And you see a lot of good competition in practice. I think that's important. And practices are designed to be that way. Mm-hmm. You want to see who wants to compete. And I thought we competed really well against a good Denver team last weekend. We had to be – the guys had to be – even though you lose the games, you're not happy with that. You had to know you were right there.
Yeah, I mean, that was the biggest thing we took from it. I mean, after the game Saturday, you know, we could have been upset. You know, there's a couple officiating and all that. Like, we could have been that, but no. Like, we looked at it from a positive that – you know, they're number one this week in the country, and we went toe-to-toe, two-goal game the first in a game, and then a goal the second game. I mean, we went right there with them, and I thought it was a good, positive weekend. Not overall, but there's something to take from it.
Yeah, and power play, we talked with Coach Sizek a little bit about that during the first part of the show here. That's something that will come. I mean, you lose Diego and Anthony Nellis and Gage off those power plays. That's a lot of points and ability going out the door. It takes a while to develop a power play, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Like, I know, like, you know, like, usually, like, personnel stays together throughout, like, a good amount of the year, and then especially transfer the year into the next year if they can. I mean, but when you lose four guys like that or three guys like that, I mean, that's major holes to fill, and you got to figure out, you know, different hands, different lots of stuff, different ways they play. So we're getting used to it. We're getting it down. We just got to keep practicing and working at it.
Now, you're a local guy. You're from the Sioux. You got a lot of fans who come out to see you play. Is there any added pressure on you and Chase Gamblin when you play at home? You got all these people, or do you like that end of things?
I felt like at first it was a little nerve-wracking, obviously, coming back home and playing in front of like a lot of people like that. I know they know me and stuff like that. But then kind of when I get out there on the ice, I don't really think about that. I kind of just focus on the game more, and you know, I'm kind of in the zone, and I don't really pay attention to the crowd as much.
Well, you're off to a great start this year. A couple goals on the weekend. Let's hope you get a couple each game down at Michigan this coming weekend. Ashton, thanks for joining us here.
Thank you.
All right, Ashton Calder joining us on the Laker Hockey Show, and we're flat out of time. Matt Pocket, great job here. He'll be giving away some things here after we get off the air. Emily Pentecost doing a good job for us back at the station. Zach Sizek filling in for Damon Witten tonight. We're out of time. We'll be back next Tuesday night right here at the Antlers on ESPN 1400.